if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14 and follow along here. I couldn't help after a while singing this song, how the Lord says, I gave my life, and then what hast thou given for me is the question. And the second verse, what hast thou left off? Hast thou left off for me? And what hast thou borne for me? What hast thou brought to me? My message this morning is going to be John the Baptist's death. And wow, if there was anyone who kind of like answered the question that the Lord asks us, it would have been him, that's for sure. Why don't we just read that now? That way I won't have to read it when I'm getting ready to preach the message. Okay, but here's my text for the message this morning. Matthew 14, verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Just couldn't help but think of John the Baptist fulfilling every one of those four verses and the request of the Lord there. What hast thou given for me? Okay, what do you think? You think John took care of that? Hast thou left all for me? I think John did that. What hast thou borne for me? I think John did that. What hast thou brought to me? May we follow in his footsteps. Not that being beheaded is a very nice thing to think about, but the Lord would want us to follow in his footsteps. And John did that job real well, I think. All right, well, I just wanted to do that. While we sang that song, couldn't help but think of that, how well that applies to John. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank you for the change that's been wrought in our hearts through coming to know your Son, Jesus Christ, who's sitting at your right hand right now. Thank you that he has the victory over the grave. And there he sits, and he's waiting to be commanded to go and get his bride. And we would pray that that would be soon. We would hasten that day, as Peter says, hasten the day. And until then, help us to be faithful. This is one aspect of that faithfulness right here and now, what we're doing. Going to church, first day of the week meeting, and then hearing the apostles' doctrine, and learning and growing in our grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being lights in a dark world. Help us to do that. Oh, how much you've done for us. What have we done for you? Help us to give some kind of an answer by the way we live until we go to be with you. So bless this day and this church service and everything we say and do. May it bring honor and glory unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 174. Here's another good old-fashioned hymn. 174. I know a fount where sins are washed away. Number 174. 174.
Thank you.
Christ I live.
My eyes with tears. that I might see. And now I'm glad he came so tenderly, for he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. Matthew chapter 14. I have a whiteboard up here for those of you listening on the internet. I'll just have to explain that as I do it for you to understand what I'm going to do with that in this passage here. But Matthew chapter 14, we already read the text. I'm going to do verses 1 through 12, especially in reference to the death of John the Baptist. The account of John's death is entered here in order to show, again, of the Messiah's rejection. He came, of course, as the rightful king of Israel. That's what Matthew gives the great theme of, is that Jesus is the king of the Jews. Rightful kingdom is his. And, of course, the whole world belongs to him as well. But we find in our passages, chapter 13, he starts talking about the kingdom of heaven, and you see how that there's going to be a rejection of him, a rejection of the word. And yet still he is going to continue to do his work. The hidden treasure in the field, Israel. The pearl of great price, the church. The end time judgment to come where the angels will separate everything out. The wicked from the righteous. So what we're seeing here is that this great king who's coming is not going to be received. There's going to be a time of rejection. There's going to be a time during which wheat and tares grow up together. And now how about the one who came to announce the king to come, John the Baptist? None greater than John the Baptist, born to women, the Lord gave testimony of John the Baptist. And of course he was foretold to come by the prophets of old, Isaiah, and a few other places that have reference to the ministry of John the Baptist. And often compared to the ministry of Elijah. And there's prophecies also that Elijah's going to come again. Some thought that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of that. And he was to a certain extent, but not the full fulfillment of it. And Elijah and Moses will come again and prepare during the tribulation time for the Lord to come. Will prepare Israel to receive their king because they've rejected him up to that point. Oh, it's just so sad, isn't it, to see the rejection of the king. And now we come to this event here, the death of John the Baptist. It just shows again of the Messiah's rejection. John was the king's forerunner. He was the heralder. He was the porter of the gate in John chapter 10. If you ever want to go there and read that, people try to get into the sheepfold other ways rather than going through the porter. And the porter is John the Baptist. He's giving you the right way. It's through Jesus Christ. John also was so much like Christ that when Herod saw Jesus in his ministry, he thought it was John the Baptist. What great words to say about a man and his testimony. That when he saw and heard of Jesus and the works that he was doing and the message he was giving, he said, "It's got to be John the Baptist. But it can't be John the Baptist. I killed him. I beheaded him. How can this be? Did he come back to life?" Oh, I can't help but think of the words that John said. "He must increase, but I must decrease." That's what John the Baptist said. You see that in the book of John, Gospel of John. He must increase, but I must decrease. Folks, if that's you and me too, we're to be the same way. That should be our motto. May Jesus Christ be seen in me. So you know what, folks? It does matter what you do. It matters how you live. It matters how you look, what you look like. It matters right down to even the smallest things you do in a day time, in a day's time. Now, you know, I don't expect you all to get yourselves a leathern girdle and like John the Baptist and eat wild honey and locusts. But there was no doubt to the people that John the Baptist was living for someone else, not himself. He was not living in king's houses or palaces. The Lord said to the people before, what went you out to see when you went out to see John the Baptist? What went you for to see? Someone in nice raiment? Well, you find that where the Pharisees are in the synagogues. That's where you'll find them. What went you out to see? You know, I think when they went out, you know what they saw? They saw a man seeking to prepare people for the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would hope that when you leave here, you go out into your workplace, you go to your home, you're among your family, throughout the day, the way you live, the way you dress, the way you talk, the things you do, things you listen to, and how about this? The things you don't do ought to speak real loud too. Okay, the things you don't wear, the way you don't look, ought to speak of Christ as well. Not just the do's, but the don'ts also. Oh, that's what church is, a bunch of do's and don'ts. Only after you've made a decision for Christ. Then the Holy Spirit of God will help you with the do's and the don'ts. He'll say, you know what, you ought to do that. Don't do that. That's not going to bring honor and glory to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so John was so much like Christ that when Herod, King Herod, heard about Jesus, he thought it was John brought back to life. John whom he beheaded. And then because of that, we get this account in Matthew because it's kind of like a reiteration in somebody's mind here. This is why it can't be John the Baptist, because he lost his life. And so the account of John's death is given to us starting there at verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John, bound him, put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. That's the cause of the imprisonment. Look here. For John said unto him, verse 4, it is not lawful for thee to have her. You know, John, can't you just, you know, you don't have to say that. You know, come on, make the message a little more positive. You didn't go to the Joel Osteen conference, apparently, John, where, you know, we don't make judgmental remarks about people. And, you know, we just let them come as they are, and we don't try to judge their lifestyles or anything. And no, John said, it's unlawful for you to have her. You're the king of Israel right now, and you got your brother's wife. That's sin, Herod. That's sin. Not only did it bother Herod, but you know who else it bothered? The woman. The woman in question. Oh, she got filled with rage. He said, where's that in the passage? It's there. Oh, yes, it's there. All right. Verse 5, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. Just go over to the Gospel of Mark and look at chapter 6, the parallel passage here, as Mark's Gospel gives just a few extra words about this. In Mark 6, verse 17, down through verse 20. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias, that's the woman, had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, and of course back to the account, notice how it says Herod listened, he respected John to a certain extent, and it says he did many things. Like a lot of people I know, trying to do many things to somehow please God without really dealing with the problem that they have, which is a sin problem. It's amazing how people will do many things except to deal with the sin that's in their problem, in their life. That's the thing that separates them from God. And Jesus Christ, John's gospel message, Jesus Christ takes care of that sin problem. So if you're trying to do many things instead of dealing with the sin problem at the cross, you're heading in the wrong direction. So back in Matthew chapter 14, the cause of the imprisonment, we know now, is because John the Baptist just couldn't keep his mouth shut. He just had to be a faithful preacher. Amen for John the Baptist. Hey, would any of you like to find fault with John the Baptist in this matter? Would you like to say, well, no wonder he lost his head. He was right. Everything else, everybody else in this whole situation is wrong. And John the Baptist is right. And it doesn't matter that John the Baptist ended up losing his life over it. He's still right. And the judgment day is going to declare it. And what a day it's going to be when everything's made right. And John the Baptist is going to still be put on display, I believe, in eternity. And by the way, he'll have his head. Okay? He'll have his head. The Lord knows where that is. And I don't believe it is in some Roman Catholic monastery somewhere under glass as one of the relics. Oh, no. You say, why did you have to bring that in? Because that's what some believe they've got. That they got the head of John the Baptist. It's a relic. Oh boy. No. I don't believe it. I believe the Lord knows where it's at. And he'll bring it back. The occasion of his death is what I want to talk about now. Here's the occasion of his death. What brought it about? In verse 6, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced. Well, I got two things in the occasion of his death. Number one, the sin of the dance. And I don't believe it's changed one bit between that day and today. The sin of the dance. And then secondly, the upper hand of Satan in this world right now. He kind of rules, doesn't he? He gets his way right now. And he still does. Yet he's been judged, as Brother Ralph clearly taught this morning in the book of Jude. He's been judged. But he's still walking around. And his helpers are still walking around and doing a lot of damage. But let's go to the sin of the dance. I am a preacher of the gospel. And I, for all the years that God has enabled me to minister, have always took a position against dancing. And I don't believe that a Christian should be involved in it. Dancing. I say, well, why not? Here's the example right here. The sin of the dance. First of all, there's the sensuality of the music. Well, I don't even see any music there. Are you that ignorant of things? Do I have to kind of show you a verse that says there was music being played here? The sensuality of the music. The sensuality of the dance itself. And all of this causes one to do things that are not normal or moral. Getting up here to the sin of the dance. There's several ingredients to a situation like this that are almost always there. You could hardly see the dance going on without all of these things somewhere, somehow being part of it. Number one, drugs and alcohol. I mean, I'm bringing this thing right up to today. Drugs and alcohol. Oh, I don't know, you can have a dance without it. No, you can't. No, you can't. It doesn't happen. They go together. And I've been around long enough, and I was a young person too, and I know what the dance included. One of the ingredients was, hey, can your dad let us have some of his booze? Or can you get some of your dad's booze and bring it with you tonight to the dance? And sure enough, underage drinking is going to take place. And when the alcohol gets into the body, it causes people to lose their control and their morals. Will go out the window. Now you add to this sensual music. Sensual contemporary rock and roll music, which some churches are so stupid in thinking that they can bring this world's music into the church, and simply because they're going to use Christian words, use this music, this same sensual music, to do the work of the Lord. That's sin. I mean, I'm talking about the sin of the dance here. And these things are being brought into the church, including even drugs and alcohol. It's in the churches. And the pastors say very little about it, if they themselves aren't actually imbibing of it themselves. As a terrible example to the young people. And when was the last time, those of you listening on the internet even, when was the last time your pastor preached against alcohol? Alcoholic beverages, wine. You say, well, I don't know. In fact, my pastor has given reasons why the Bible doesn't forbid it. You know, oh, isn't he a cool guy? You ought to get out of that church. You ought to find a church where the pastor says it's rotten to the core. It destroys everything it affects and gets into. And I'm not going to give one space to it at all. The best thing you can do with alcoholic beverages and drugs is totally avoid it. Totally avoid it. Have nothing to do with it. It will destroy you before you know what's happened. And I could give example and example over. I could even give example, folks sitting here today, of people you know who once were here and are not now because of alcohol and how it has destroyed them. I could give you examples of people you know who are no longer married. And children now do not have a mom and dad that belong to them together in the same house because of alcohol. If I could just somehow get your memory to go way back, I could also give you examples of people who are now dead, who should not be dead because of alcohol, that you know. He said, who's that? Are you going to say it? No, I'll tell you afterward if you want to know. I preached their funeral. And alcohol destroyed them. And drugs. And not always illegal drugs, legal drugs that they really shouldn't have been taking and using and destroying their body. A good amount of the drug activity today is with legal drugs, prescription drugs, somehow gotten and being used. How about this word? Oxycontin. You all know that. How many children are dying overdosing on a prescription drug? The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation is coming a day that they're going to be so angry with God because of the plagues coming upon them that they, you would think they would all get on their knees and confess before the Lord that we're really messed up, but they won't. They will still be so incensed against the Lord that they will openly say, I will not stop drinking. I will not stop murdering, abortion. I will not stop sorcery, drugs. The word for sorcery, pharmakia, pharmacy, drugs. I'll not stop. I don't care what God does to me. I'm going to keep doing it no matter what. Ooh, wow. This is what was going on back here in the day of John the Baptist. And oh, the occasion of his death is filled with this same stuff going on today. The sensuality. All right, drugs, alcohol, sensual music. It's interesting. You know, when the world sings their sensual songs, and a lot of times the woman voice will come on. Oh, I'm in love with you. And oh, how wonderful. And, you know, her voice is just seducing you. It's in our Christian churches. Singing the same way with the same type of voice about my Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, how I love him. And oh, yeah, with those sensual tones of voices. It's wicked. Well, everybody likes it. Oh, yeah, I know. It's still wrong. It's still wrong, folks. Drugs, alcohol, sensual music, the dance, the sensuality of the dance. What do you think was going on here? You think she was tap dancing? You know, you think she was doing the two-step waltz or something? What was going on here, folks? That ended up with a decision to take the man of God and cut his head off. What was going on here? And this was Herodias' daughter. So she's dancing in front of King Herod, the husband of this dancer's mother. I mean, this is dysfunctional all over the place, isn't it? And the dance influences that. Influences what? Dysfunctionalism. You shouldn't be on the floor with a young man and a young woman who are not committed to each other in marriage. And by the way, you know what? Okay, you want to dance? Dance at home, husband and wife. Go ahead. That's fine. Good. Have a good time at it. But not on a dance floor with the presence of alcohol and drugs. Oh, So as long as we can keep the drugs and alcohol away, is that all right, Pastor? Now, how about sensual music? Let's get rid of that too. And let's get rid of the sensual dance. Do you know Christian churches are actually having dances in their churches? Liberty University has concerts. This is Jerry Falwell School, okay? All right. Oh, don't touch them. Sacred cow. No. Liberty University has concerts that look even better than the world's rock concerts. They got the light display. They got the smoke coming out. They got the band up there looking like a lost people. Hairstyles totally wrong, not right. Facial paintings. The rock beat rhythm just banging away. The students in the audience going wild like any other concert. Mosh pits. The taking of a student and passing him around. They shouldn't be handling students like that. Girls shouldn't be allowing themselves to be handled like that. And this is all in the name of the Lord. Well, it's better to have them here than in a rock concert where there's drugs and everything. You know what? You and I both know there's drugs and alcohol going on there at Liberty University. Well, I don't know. Are you sure about it? It was going on at my college back in 1975. And we weren't even doing rock concerts. And we'd hear so-and-so just got shipped. What was he doing? Fooling around with drugs. He got drunk over the weekend when he was supposed to be on evangelism tour over the weekend. Got one of the girls pregnant. This is 1975, folks. Don't be telling me that Liberty University, with all the garbage going on there, doesn't have the same problem, if not multiplied times worse. I know it's happening. Not just there, but all these schools. They're all caving into the CCM lifestyle, music style. They're all caving into it. One of our own young people has decided not to go back to the school that he chose because of the kind of music that's being played at that school now. And I even encouraged him it was all right. Now I have to say, it's not all right. Get out of there. Get out of there like a burning building. It's burning down. Get out of there. You say, what school are you talking about? Talk to me later. Who is it you're talking about? Talk to me later. Oh, this is bad. The sensuality of the dance. What kind of dance was she doing, folks? In verse 6, danced before them and pleased Herod. How much did he please? Is she please him? Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Uh-oh, problem. Verse 8, and she, being before instructed of her mother. You know what this tells me? This was choreographed before it took place. Now, daughter, I don't know, I don't see the name of the daughter anywhere. Daughter, you really can dance pretty good. I've seen the men look at you when you dance. And you know what? I need that John the Baptist dead. Would you go out there and dance in such a way in front of my husband? Because I know what kind of guy he is. Do it this way and that way. And when he asks you this, here's what I want you to give as an answer. John the Baptist's head on a charger. I looked up the word charger. You know what a charger is? It's a big flat platter upon which you carry meat. And I'm sure it was a fancy one or something like that. This was all pre-planned. And you are being naive and ignorant if you think you can fool around with these things in the modern day and not be burned by them. It will burn you. How many young people's lives and virginity has been lost on that dance floor? That's where they lost it, right there. Whoa, they didn't have sex or no, but they sure did right afterward. Back seat of cars and everything else. You know what I'm talking about. Well, are you going to come over to my place? What started that passion? On the dance floor, the sensuality of the music, the sensuality of the dance movements. Add a little alcohol or drugs to this thing. One of the biggest problems on our campuses today is date rape. And I know they want to say, well, as long as she says no, then the guys can't do anything. You know what? Yeah. The whole situation is set up for a problem. From the word go. Those fraternities have their alcohol, beer kegs all over the place. It's common knowledge. Don't be naive about it. You say, well, yeah, none of us do any of this. Hey, man, I sure hope none of you do any of this stuff. And I sure hope you're saying right along with me, that's right, preacher. That's right. Maybe some of you in your past can say, I made some mistakes there. Yep. I remember I made those same mistakes. Don't let your children follow in that same way. And don't you be a bad example to the children who are going up through our church. You make sure you say amen to the preacher when he preaches against stuff like that. So that the little children, whoa. Brother, sister, so-and-so, yeah, they're in agreement with that. Amen. I ought to know where you stand on those things. And be willing to take your stand. If someone's having a problem with it, you need to help them with that. It's wrong. These things are the wrong things to be doing. Immodest dress comes along with it. Oh, yeah. You look at the dance floor, immodesty. For the ladies, immodest on the top, immodest on the bottoms. And the guy's not far from it. We were at the subway last night, and this guy came in, and his pants were all the way. I mean, they were right here. They were right here. And we were just, his back was to us. We were just waiting for those things to fall. He had to get his wallet out, and he ended, folks on the internet, I'm sorry, you can't see this. And, well, the pastor doesn't have his, he's not there. But this guy was trying to get his wallet, and he was reaching all the way down to his knee. Because his pocket, which should have been up here, was down at his knee. I thought for sure that thing was going to fall down. He finally grabbed a hold of it and hiked it right back up, and whew. Didn't know what we were going to see there. It would have been disgusting, I'll tell you that right now. But immodest dress going on there. What was going on here this day that Herod would come to the position to say, anything you want, you can have it. In fact, it almost sounds like a song. I've heard that song in the rock world. Anything you want, you can have it. Any way you want it, you can have it. You know, the words itself tell you enough that that is no good. That's no good. Add the sensual music to it. Add immodest dress to it. Add drugs and alcohol to it. And add rebellion in the heart already. And this is going in the wrong direction. Anything you want. What would you like, Miss Herodias? okay, for sake of not knowing the name, Miss Herodias, what would you like? Would you all come to church with me on Sunday? Yeah, yeah. Fat chance of that happening here. When the concert's over here, is the concert over, King Harry? Yes, it's over. What would you like? Give you anything up to half of my kingdom. How about let's have a message by John the Baptist? You know, that's what they pretend to do at some of these Christian venues. After they've got done doing the same thing that's going on here where John the Baptist lost his head, they want to stop all the music, and out comes the preacher, and he stands in front of the band equipment and everything trying to preach the Word of God. How hypocritical. How powerless. Oh, it's so cool. Yeah, we're going to mix the Bible teaching with this. He's a cool Bible teacher. And of course, he's never wore a tie. And he does not ever intend to. He's out there in a nice open collar shirt. And he's going to just woo these young people into serving the Lord. Rebellion. Rebellion is what's going on here. Causes one to do things that are not normal. This king made a big mistake here. And it was caused by the sensuality of the dance and the music that was going on here. In verse 8, and she being before instructed of her mother said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Too late. Too late. Damage done. How many young people today would say, I'm sorry. I gave away my virginity. I gave away my testimony. Maybe even a Christian young person listening to this right now. You can't witness with a can of beer in your hand to somebody. You can't witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done in your heart and life when you've just done something with drugs in front of everybody. And you're laughing and everything with everybody else, and all of a sudden you're going to witness for the Lord? Forget it. It isn't going to happen. Herod was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat at meat with him. Peer pressure. You know, I'm talking about everything that goes on at a dance here in young people's lives. Peer pressure. Wow. He commanded it to be given her. Boy, and you would almost think there'd be just a little more detail about it. Oh, no. It just says this. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Done. Bang, done. And one of the greatest servants of the Lord. Loses his life over this. I'm not going to apologize for the way I preach on this stuff one iota. I said, boy, I haven't heard you preach on this. You see, folks, I preach verse by verse. I don't get up here and just preach on pet things. Every once in a while I'll do a topic thing, but I don't do that. If you don't stick around and come to all the meetings, you're going to miss a lot of the positional things that I believe in. Because I preach verse by verse, and here we are, verse by verse, and here it is. And your preacher's against alcohol drinking. I'm against the rock and roll music, and by God's grace, we're not letting it in here. And there's other kind of music kind of gets close to it. Well, where do you draw the line? You know, I just heard a message, and it was an illustration given. Somebody wanted to hire someone to drive him around a rugged terrain area, and yeah, it's kind of a joke more than anything else, but he asked each of the drivers, you see that cliff there and the road that goes by there? How close would you get to that? says, well, I can get pretty close, you know, probably within a few inches. He asked the other guy, how close can you get to that? He said, well, you know, give me about 3 feet. He asked the third guy, how close would you get? He says, I'll stay as far away from it as I can. You're hired. You're hired. That's how close you draw the line. As far away from it as you can get. Not how close can we get and not topple over the edge. Let's stay as far away from it as we possibly can. Be not unequally yoked. Abstain from all appearance. You know the verses on separation. Have no fellowship. Doesn't say, see how close in fellowship we can get. No, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Get away from it. Avoid false doctrine. Don't get close to it. The upper hand of Satan in this world. Oh, by the way, all right. For those of you on the internet, I have a whiteboard here, and I have 3 words, spiritual, soul, and body, written out vertically. And I want to say, here's how you determine what is good music and what is bad music. Because there are 3 parts to music which correspond to the 3 parts of man. Your spiritual part, your soulish part, and your body part. Melody. I'm writing the word melody right across from the word spiritual. And Ephesians and Colossians both talk about singing and making melody in your heart if you want to be spiritual. It's in a passage about spirituality. Making melody in your heart. Harmony is that part of the music which appeals to our soulish part. And rhythm. I got to see how to spell rhythm. T-H-M. Rhythm is that part of music which appeals to the body. How often I've seen, even when we're singing here sometimes, I often look around and see whose foot's going like this. That's rhythm part. Yeah, it affects. I don't think there's anything wrong with good rhythm and things like that. But you know what rock and roll music is? And those of you on the internet, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to take melody, harmony, and rhythm and turn them upside down. And when you turn it upside down, you then have body on the top, soul in the middle, and spiritual on the bottom. You got bad music when you got it listed like that. When the rhythm and the beat is the most vital part of the music. And hey, do I have to play examples of it here today? No, come on. How naive can you be? You and I both know that contemporary Christian music and rock music, which I don't think there's any difference. Just name the word Christian. That's all. They stick Christian in there. That kind of sanitizes the whole thing. Nah, it doesn't. You know what it does? It blasphemes the word Christian is what it does. Get that name out of there. Contemporary music. It just should be CM. Contemporary music. It's rock music. And anything the world loves, you can't be using for the Lord to do the ministry and the work of the Lord. And I've heard it. I've been to some services in other churches, sadly, because of various reasons, circumstances, why I was even there and so forth, I could hear. They're already teaching the children in these Christian schools to dance. And I'm talking about Bible fellowship churches. I'm talking about evangelical congregational churches in the valley here. Talking about all those other churches don't even want to put their denominational names on it because they're so rebellious. Oh, we're the Christ church. Oh, how pious that sounds. They don't even want to describe what they really are. down the street here, we have the Revolution Church. Folks, revolution, that's rebellion right off the bat. You know what's going on in there. My Savior was no revolutionary. He was a Savior. He's a Redeemer. I've never seen him portrayed in my Bible as a revolutionary. Revolution Church. Come on. What kind of church are you? Well, we're an old-fashioned Pentecostal, tongue-speaking, healing church. Why don't you say that? They got their music upside down, and guess what? A lot of people there. A lot of peer pressure to all go there. Oh, we got to go there. You didn't go to Race Street Baptist Church. You know what? All they ever sing there is the old rugged cross. Amen. Without a heartbeat. You know, every song you have has rhythm. So, you know, we're not against rhythm. If you didn't have rhythm, you couldn't even sing a song. Now, when do you start? When do you end? You got to have some rhythm there. You got to have a beat there. Oh, boy. The upper hand of Satan in this world. Christians do die for their faith. Until the King comes, we must suffer for him. We bear the reproach and the hatred and persecution, which is actually a seal of our identification and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the seal of your identification and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is? The world's reproach toward you, the world's hatred toward you, and ultimately even its persecution of you. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And if I can die for Christ, then amen. Can't think of a better thing to die for. I wonder, you know. It says he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Did John squirm, squeal? Did he protest? Did he demand a hearing? Did he have a trial by jury? The Constitution, freedom of religion, all that. He sent and beheaded him. That's it. Wow. You know what, folks? Could be you and me someday. Are you ready? How much is it worth to you that Jesus Christ has saved your lost soul? He's taking you to heaven. How much does it mean to you? John said, he must increase. I must decrease. John, are you the Messiah? Or do we look for somebody else? Oh boy, behold the Lamb of God. He must increase. I'm not even worried that it unlooses the shoe latchets of his shoes to take them off and wash his feet. I'm not even worthy. Wow. And then when it was all done, verse 12 says, and his disciples came, took up the body and buried it. And what happened to the head? The Bible says in verse 11, he brought the head in a charger, given it to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. A wicked woman. And wicked man, the wicked Miss Herodias' daughter, the wicked peer group all sitting around, Herod, what are you going to do? We know how you kind of respect John the Baptist. She wants his head. Married to your brother's wife. Can you just hear the words going through in Herod there like, I can't change my mind now. I already said what I'm going to do. What will they think of me if I go back on my word? Go ahead, do it. And then they come with his head and give it to Herodias, probably with a smile of victory. Ha, 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 John, I got you. The disciples of John come, do the best they can. Get the body of John, bury him. They didn't cremate him, they buried him. Just threw that in there. They buried him. And here's what I like. And would you take your hymn books, and Jason, would you come and turn to number 238. Sometimes, folks, this is all you can do. This is all you can do. I hope you get my point. Those of you on the internet, we're turning to hymn number 238 in the Living Hymnal. The title of the song is, I Must Tell Jesus. Because that's about all you can do sometimes. Is take it to him. They buried John and went and told Jesus. Amen, Jason. Let's stand if you feel like it. Sing together. If you need help to get saved, you say, oh boy, I need salvation. Come on, we'll help you with that. But Christian, sometimes this is the only place you can go. I Must Tell Jesus, number 238. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear.
Jesus can help.